with food.
Okay. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Owen.
How are you?
Great. You know, today, I'm sitting here with Owen Allen at Red Robin.
You know, and if we record this and we do any sort of like pre-part or post-part, the noise will never match because we're in a restaurant.
We are in a restaurant. Anybody that...
I'm going to cut that whole part out. Never mind, go ahead.
Anybody listening that thinks that maybe we're in some exclusive sound booth with, and we're piping in this sort of ambient noise to create atmosphere, we're not. We're actually in a restaurant.
Yeah. We're taking this to the streets.
Taking this to the streets, yep.
So what do you want to talk about?
Well, the reason I come to Red Robin is actually to talk about M365 with most people. Sometimes I just sidle up to people sitting at the booths nearby and start talking about M365, how it will change their life. What do they think about the modern workforce?
Workplace. You know, Greg, I am so very happy to have lunch with you today. And it's been, when was the last time we had lunch? Has it been a couple years? It's been a couple of years since we've had lunch.
Well, I immediately went to sitting at Ivar's with you.
When was that?
We're in the sun. I don't know.
Oh, yes. We were at the Lake Union.
Yeah.
No. We're at the UW. We're at the UW Ivar's. Oh, yeah. That's south. That's Lake Union.
Yeah.
Not south. North Lake Union.
We talked about groups
that was
and
awesome.
Teams.
Those were the days. And now here we are. We're both working for a new man.
Working for Zones.
Working for Zones.
The nice thing about working for Zones is it's easily modifiable. Like right now, we're in the lunch zone.
That's right.
You know?
Then we get back to lunch, we're going to have to go to the work zone.
We're going to be in the work zone. And then I'm going to be in the meeting zone. Then, while we're talking to a customer, I'm going to be in the hot zone.
You know what? I think you've got your zone navigation pretty well handled. That's pretty impressive. You've only been... You're still in the process of becoming zonified, but you've already managed to identify your most important zones.
Yes. There's sometimes when I'm in the Bo zone. I don't know. It's not to be confused with our internet, the O zone. But the Bo zone is sharing ideas with our friend and colleague, Bo.
I'm sorry, what was his last name?
You know, Bo.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I like that guy. You know, if he could have left a different name for his kids, that would have been something. He's digging out of that one his whole life. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, my only problem with that last name is that every time I've tried it, he says no. It's Warren. And I can't imagine that I'm hearing it wrong or I'm hearing it right. I just stumped. But I think it's Voronovich.
And I say it differently. I say Voronovich.
Voronovich. Yes, you're right. Voronovich.
Yes, well, I'm sorry we're not in the Bo zone at the lunch zone today at the Red Robin zone.
I can't help but think that Bo is compensation for Voronovich.
Yes. His first name is so easy. It makes up for his last name.
Yeah.
But we should just call his last name Nose. We should just say Nose. Then it's Bo Nose.
Bo Nose.
I wonder what his first name really is. That they had to shorten it to Bo.
Boris? Boris
no,
Voronovich.
No, that's only two syllables. It must have like nine syllables.
Yeah, it probably does. Have you ever been in a situation where you're talking to someone who knows Bo? Or maybe doesn't know Bo. And you end up saying, you know, I hung out. You know what I did is I had a conversation with Greg Frick. And then I had a conversation with Bo. And you're very conscious of the fact that you're not using his last name. Because you feel like you're on the spot. And you're not really sure what's going to come out.
And you're just ingrained to always hear, whenever you try and say his name, no, that's not right. It's this.
Yeah.
And you know, and you think maybe this person, they probably know how to say it right. And they'll probably correct you too.
Yeah. Well, and I have what happens with me is when I know how to spell it, I actually read it in my brain, but if I read it, then I can't say it, because it's exactly. I need to, like, spell it phonetically.
Yeah.
And just go with that, so.
Hey, so what's your favorite Office 365 news so far?
Well, I
I've got one. If you're thinking of one.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about some of the modern site features that sound very cool.
Well, 2 weeks ago, there was the MVP Summit going on in Seattle, and all the MVPs from around the world were in Seattle. And we can't talk about anything that they said because we're not MVPs. And they wouldn't tell us because we're not MVPs. But while they were in Seattle, there was some Microsoft marketing guy over at his place called Enterprise Connect. And they made a bunch of team announcements at Enterprise Connect.
Okay.
So the MVP guys were getting all of these announcements, but they can't tell anyone. But if we go to Enterprise Connect, we can see what they said. And at Enterprise Connect, they talked about private channels for Teams.
Yes.
Now, private channels for Teams are coming out. I'll bet you this summer and at Ignite at the end of the summer, we're going to have private channels for Teams. That's going to change a lot of stuff because I think you and I have been using Teams for quite a while. And we've been teaching people how to use Teams. And now how do we teach them how to use private channels? I mean, one thing, it's going to be really easy because it's easy to use Teams. And once you say they can change the permissions, people know how to do that. But still, it's going to change how I use Teams, that's for sure. I've gotten accustomed to creating a new team every time I wanted a different set of permissions. I just hope everything works well. That if I create a channel and I only put 4 people in that channel and there's 20 in the team, I hope that they can keep the files straight and keep their messages straight as they pop from channel to channel. That's going to be interesting.
Well, there's a lot of cascading effects. Like, how would notifications work? So if you're in a private channel and you add channel, right now, if I go into a channel and I add channel, it actually lets everybody know in the team.
Oh, really? It's not... Well, that's because the membership of that channel is the same as membership of the team.
Right.
But now we're going to have the concept of different channel membership, so I'll bet you that will go... I haven't seen it yet. I haven't done it. But I'll bet you that is scoped to the channel membership.
Yeah,
that's a good point, though. I hadn't thought about that one.
I want to go back to something you said earlier, though. You said, because Teams is easy to use.
Was I lying?
I'm a salesperson. Well, I think it's easy to use. I think the human part, like how we do our behavior, is not to be taken for granted, and there needs to be some guidance and some suggestions around, and more from the business point of view of, like, how do we work well?
Consistency,
and how do we work well, and how do we know that we're working well, and what does success look like? Those kind of things, not necessarily from the IT point of view, which is different. Who can create them? How do you lock down settings for everyone? But I have been in some meetings, like at the PowerShell meetup. Eric was talking about doing a hackathon with his company, and they were going to use Teams, but they decided not to because it was too complicated. And when I hear that, it's like I think to myself, what? I don't understand why it's too complicated. But that was also what several other people in the meeting, when I talked to them afterward, they also had that same question. Like, why do people find it complicated? And I don't doubt that they do. And I don't know whether it's because it's a new thing, and it's a new metaphor, or what.
Well, one of the things where I've seen some complication, is when you're trying to do a meeting in Teams, and not everyone has Teams.
Right.
Cobb salad?
Yes, please.
There, yeah. And the big ghost.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Enjoy, guys.
Nice. Thank you.
And so doing meetings when not everyone has Teams, I've often had to revert back to using Skype or using WebEx because more people have experience with that right now or have it installed and working. You know, there's only so many microphones and headphones that an app can own, and so if your favorite communications app already has the headphone and the microphone, who knows how hard it is to switch that. Sometimes that can be difficult. Anyway, I agree, there's some complexity there. Maybe it is company, they haven't rolled it out all the way, or maybe it's a secondary technology, not the first one. Did he say anything about that?
Actually, that's a great question. I didn't ask him. And also, you know, it's also like, if we look at our company as an example, it wasn't sort of that idealized version, which is a company decides to migrate to Teams. So it becomes a project with a budget, with a project lead, with a change management plan, with champions, with collateral, with events.
Yeah, and support.
Right. That's, you know, when Microsoft wants to move 181,000 people from Skype for Business to Teams, that's what Microsoft's going to do. What other organizations will do that? And why, right?
It's hard. It can be hard. But maybe that can be a subject for our next 5-minute conversation. Greg, it's been good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too, Alan. Let's meet up again at a restaurant.
At another restaurant.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great time.